As Corey Linsley remains on the PUP list, J.C. Treader has been named the Green Bay Packers' starting center. Are the Packers making the correct choice? We'll ask Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for another preseason game this upcoming Friday. We're talking about training camp, and to do that today, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, welcome back. How you doing?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Great. We got a lot of things to talk about today, Nathan. One of the big stories this week has been J.C. Treader being named the starter at center. And I know we don't have a ton to go on, but if we could kick things off by telling me how has he looked so far this preseason?
In the preseason, he's only played 29 snaps so far, but he's looked good in his time with it. In the run game, there have been a few plays where he successfully sealed off either a nose tackle or gone to the second level, sealed off a linebacker in the run game, and doesn't really have any negatively graded plays in the run, so that's been very good. And in the pass game, just one pressure allowed, which came late in the play, didn't really have much of an impact on the play, so not too bad there. So really, with a couple good plays against the run, nothing bad, and pretty good in pass protection. He's graded out as the second-best center so far this preseason.
Wow, that's impressive. And I really like Treader's athleticism as a former college tight end and tackle. I think that's what he offers the best. But let's go back to last season, Nathan. Can you kind of compare Treader and Corey Linsley and how they did in 2015, kind of as a way to compare and contrast the two?
Sure, I'll focus. When Treader was just at center, since he played a couple of different positions, but just when Treader was at center, he looked a little better than Linsley, although on a smaller sample size, mostly thanks to his pass protection. That's an area where Linsley was pretty average when it came to pass blocking, but Treader was very good when he was at center. No sacks, no hurries allowed, and just two hurries. There's no sacks, no hits, and just two hurries. And then in run blocking, Linsley may have been a little better, Treader was stood up at the line of scrimmage of too many times last year compared to Lindley. But when you look at penalties as well, that's an area that Treader had the advantage at. Lindley had a couple holding penalties throughout the year where Treader wasn't really penalized much. So typically when you see someone play better on a smaller sample size, if they get more snaps, they'll regress to the mean a little bit. So I think at the very least, Treader will be just as good as Lindley was with there's probably a better chance that Treader will be better than Linsley than Treader being worse than Linsley.
Yeah, and with how much the Packers pass, or at least expected to pass, I think that Treader may actually be the better option, although Corey Linsley does seem to have a little bit more power to him in handling big nose tackles and things like that. We'll see how the season plays out. Nathan, sticking with the offensive line, the Packers decided to part ways with Matt Rotherham this week after a biceps injury. After it seemed like he had such a promising future, do you think he's worth bringing back after he gets healthy based on his preseason performance last year?
I think he's worth bringing back. He was a PFF favorite after the 2014 college season when he was our highest graded guard in college by a decent margin that year. And then after that in the 2015 preseason, he looked pretty good as well, mostly thanks to his run blocking. He did allow a few pressures, and he wasn't as dominant against the backups as guys like Sidman Lang were dominant against starters that preseason. So it is understandable that he didn't get more opportunities, but I think there's still definitely the potential there as long as his injury isn't too serious that he's worth another look. I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so too. Hopefully he gets healthy and we'll see that. So I got lots of questions about centers here with Lindsley and Jacob Flores injured, Rotherham now cut, and J.C. Treader previously missing time in training camp. I'm curious about how Pro Football Focus has graded out Don Barclay at center this preseason. How has he done at a new position?
He hasn't looked great so far this preseason, grading out as our third worst center so far over these 2 weeks. On the bright side, his pass protection has been decent, just one hit and one hurry allowed on a number of pass blocks. So he's graded out above average in pass protection, but it's really his run blocking that's been bringing him down. Typically against opposing nose tackles, he hasn't been able to gain control on his blocks, so typically the nose tackle has been able to go whichever direction the nose tackle wants to, which has only twice led to tackle for losses by the guy that Barclay has been supposed to block. But a lot of times it's involved the running back needing to change the direction he wanted to go in to avoid the nose tackle. So some of it might just be the adjustment to the new position as well, since sometimes it's right after that he snaps the ball that he's already slow to get to his block. And then there was also a mental error in that first game where the entire line was zone blocking one way, Barclay was zone blocking the other way and ran into his teammates. So part of it might be the adjustment and part of it might just be not being able to handle the bigger nose tackles as well. But it hasn't been a great start for Barclay at center.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to feel about Don Barclay. I like the versatility, but like you said, there's some, points at which he isn't playing so well either. We'll see. We'll see. We're talking to Nathan Yockey of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, Jordy Nelson might not play on Friday's game against the 49ers, but this will be Jared Cook's first action with Aaron Rodgers. How has Cook looked thus far playing with backup quarterbacks?
He's looked pretty decent. Nothing too exciting, but nothing too concerning either. He's caught all four passes thrown his way. Two of them were nice catches for first downs. The other two didn't gain so much. But the plays that didn't gain too much were designed shorter catches that you would hope the defender either takes a bad angle or is slow to react. But on those two plays, the defender did a fine job. So not really Cook's fault that the other two plays didn't gain as much yards. And then in the run game, he's been fairly invisible, which I'm not sure if the Packers are just doing that by design, running plays where the tight end isn't as involved in the run games. But Cook hasn't really done anything positive or negative in the run game, which in these days where the tight ends are very receiver specialized, you expect more negative than positive in the run game. So the fact that Cook has been invisible is probably a good thing.
Well, a good start so far for Cook. Hopefully he continues that. And speaking of tight ends, what do you make of the progress made by Kennard Backman this year?
I can probably say a lot of the same things that I just said about Cook. He had a few nice catches for first downs, a few others that just gained a couple yards, which pad the yards and catches stats, but don't help his yards per catch. In the run game, he's been a little bit more involved, a few more good plays and a few more bad plays. So he's been more noticeable in the run game. But again, if you have just as much good as that in the run game as a tight end, that's a good thing. So these two tight ends that we've talked about are the two highest graded Packers tight ends so far this preseason.
Not bad for a young player or a developing player, I should say, in Kennard Backman. He only looks to be getting better since his rookie year, so that's a good thing. Nathan, first round draft pick Kenny Clark is a question mark after dealing with a back injury here at training camp. How has he looked in his first two professional games?
First in the Browns game, he was looking pretty good in the run game. A couple plays where he was just able to push the offensive lineman back at the start of the play, and that was each time enough for the running back to not want to go in that direction anymore. And one of them led to a third down stop where Clark made the tackle, preventing a first down. Then against the Raiders, he was a little less noteworthy. He did have one pressure in the game, but Rodney Hudson probably got the best of him in the run game. of not too much positive or negative, but I'd say Hudson won the battle overall. But so overall in the run game, I would say those couple of good plays he made against the Browns is pretty promising. But in the passing game, just having one pressure on 23 pass rushes doesn't really cut it. So a couple of good things and a couple of bad requests so far.
Yeah, I tend to wonder if, after suffering a back injury, whether that might be the extent of what we see of Kenny Clark in the preseason. Obviously, we got to learn more about his situation, but definitely not a good thing that he suffered an injury at all. Finally, before we let you go here, Nathan, in retrospect, I think the Packers faced some big matchups last week in the preseason, like Jason Spriggs versus Khalil Mack and Demarius Randle versus Amari Cooper. Is there any matchup or player on the 49ers that we should watch for this Friday?
Well, the 49ers don't have as huge all-star names as the Raiders do at a lot of positions, but one of their most intriguing players, DeForest Buckner, was out there last game. I'm not sure if he'll play in this game, but if Buckner is playing, he was their first-round early pick this year. So if he does play, that'll be interesting to see him go against the Packers. But something that we should be able to watch throughout the game is the 49ers' edge rushers against the Packers' tackles. The 49ers have invested some pretty high draft picks over the past couple years in outside linebackers. Cornelius Carradine, Corey Lamonier, Eli Harold, all three players have been graded well so far this preseason in pass rushing. And then Marcus Rush, probably someone you haven't heard of, but a 2015 undrafted free agent. Last week against the Broncos, he had 3 sacks and 4 hurries, which is massive for a preseason game. So they're all fighting for playing time this year. All of them should be playing basically the entire game. So that'll be a challenge for both the Packers starting offensive tackles as well as Jason Spriggs, should be pretty well challenged in this game as well.
Good to hear. That's some for me to focus on Friday, and I will do so. Nathan, thanks again for joining us this week. Appreciate your insight and analysis, and we'll look forward again to it next week when we recap the 49ers game.
Of course. Thanks again for having me, and I'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to him, as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right, so giving you my 2 cents on a few of the things we've already asked Nathan about, but now you're going to get my thoughts on the matters. Head coach Mike McCarthy indicated J.C. Treader has earned the starting center job with the Packers during a press conference on Monday. This comes in light of the fact that Corey Linsley remains on the PUP list and has not practiced yet this training camp or during the offseason program for that matter, or at least and not in any practice open to the public. Linsley, in fact, revealed in an article published by the Green Bay Press Gazette this week that he tore his hamstring, although no surgery is planned. He originally suffered the injury back in May and then aggravated the injury in July. And while that's certainly disappointing, the Packers basically have had no choice but to name Treader the starter. In the back of my mind, Linsley would have almost needed to come off the PUP list this week if he was going to regain the starter's job. It just seems as if he comes off the list next week, that one preseason game isn't going to be enough, and there's no guarantees coming off the PUP list anytime soon. I wonder, perhaps, if Linsley might remain on the PUP list into the regular season, which would put him out for, I believe, at least 6 weeks. I'd have to look at the public list rules to be exact on that. But obviously that decision hasn't been revealed yet. What the Packers decide to do with Linsley, ultimately, they still have 2 weeks here to make a choice until the cut down to 53. So they have a little bit of time to, you know, see how other players play and things like that, and see how J.C. Treader fares and make sure he's not suffering an injury or anything. So we watch. But congratulations to J.C. Treader, who played well last season after dealing with a debilitating injury his rookie year in the NFL. And he's continued that solid play this preseason, and hopefully it continues into the regular season. So that's all good news. And just as a side note, this kind of came to me just recently. I wonder if Corey Linsley can play guard. The only position we've ever seen him play is center. But I wonder, you know, just hypothetically, if something would happen to either Josh Sitton or TJ Lang and they had to miss some time, and knock on wood, we hope they don't have to, but could Linsley replace either one of them with Treader remaining at center? This is just a thought of mine, just because we've never seen it before. We've never seen J.C. Treader be the outright starter. I guess we did maybe perhaps, you know, during training camp 2 years ago. But other than that, you know, it's always been Treader coming off the bench, whether it's been center, or we've also seen him at both tackle positions from time to time. But Corey Linsley, it's been strictly center always. So I just wonder how versatile he is, and he may need to be a little bit more versatile if he's not, you know, the going to be in the starting lineup. And it certainly doesn't look as if that'll be the case, at least early on. So just a thought that came to my mind, and something worth watching here. But in other offensive line news, the Packers released Matt Rotherham with an injury settlement this week, who looked to have a future with the team after being developed on the practice squad last season. The Packers even expanded his repertoire at center this year in addition to being a guard. But a biceps injury has kept Rotherham off the field since early in training camp. Now, the Packers can re-sign him to their practice squad after a six-week period necessitated by receiving an injury settlement. And I tend to think that is a very good possibility that the Packers do that, re-sign Rotherham. If you remember, the Packers did the same thing with linebacker Joe Thomas 2 years ago, and that turned out pretty well. I know this probably is like in the recesses of most people's mind, but you know, when the Packers trimmed the roster to 53 players, Joe Thomas received a settlement. You know, they couldn't sign him to the practice squad immediately. They had to wait, you know, into the season, wait 6 weeks. And then they eventually did bring him back. And, you know, he ended the 2014 season on the practice squad, or at least initially. And then, you know, last year he was on the 53-man roster. So maybe that's a route Rotherham can take. I know they play two different positions, but can follow a similar path back into the NFL perhaps. So just throwing that out there. The Packers also released rookie tackle Josh James this week, which is another unfortunate situation, never really getting the chance in so much as a preseason game. But as the saying goes, you can't make the club in the tub. The Packers have to reduce their roster to 75 players in less than a week anyway, and they need healthy bodies in that final preseason game. So you knew Josh James was probably going to be released eventually, even if it wasn't this week. So good luck to James and Rotherham in their comebacks. In other news, several players returned to practice this week for the Green Bay Packers. Of course, the biggest name was wide receiver Jordy Nelson, who took part in his first practice in nearly a year on Monday. However, for the past 2 days, he's taken part only in individual drills, kind of giving you the indication he's not going to play in the third preseason game against the San Francisco 49ers, and perhaps not even in the final preseason game. This was a good first step for Jordy Nelson, and hopefully he starts returning to team drills soon so he can start working on that timing with Aaron Rodgers after being away from the game for so long. But the Packers really haven't indicated one way or the other their plans for Jordy Nelson. They haven't really ruled him out of Friday's game, but you know, I almost think it's a given he's not going to play in the game. Could be that same situation where maybe he takes part in pregame warmups just kind of as an extra practice, if nothing else. But I really don't anticipate him playing. And then in the final preseason game, I think they'll just withhold him totally like they'll do with a lot of the starters. So there's that to think about. It's been pretty much the same story for linebacker Jake Ryan, who also returned to practice on Monday earlier this week, but just also for individual drills at this point. And for a guy that missed the first two preseason games, Ryan's return comes just in the nick of time if he hopes to maintain a spot in the starting lineup. He's kind of fallen behind Blake Martinez and Sam Barrington in that regard early in training camp. So we're waiting to see if Ryan will play in Friday's game. You know, the Packers still have one more day of practice this week, so maybe he could return, you know, practice a little bit with the team on Thursday in advance of Friday. That would certainly help his chances. But at the very least, it's good news. Ryan has returned to practice, even if it's on a limited basis. You know, this still gives him 2 weeks to be ready for the start of the regular season, and that's what counts. And another return to practice with a caveat. Tight end Mitchell Henry returns to practice with a club cast. And by the way, that's a club cast for the second consecutive training camp. He dealt with the same impediment a year ago, and that's extremely difficult for a tight end whose job duties include catching passes. Henry seemed to have such a bright future after being claimed by the Denver Broncos on waivers last season, and the Packers were lucky to get him back after being released. But this injury has set Henry back. I can't see any situation he makes the 53-man roster, and his spot on the practice squad is in question at this point. But hopefully he continues to make progress, and at this point, we can only send out our well wishes to Mitchell Henry. It looks as if he's going to participate in practice and games, as far as I know, just from the standpoint that he did last. Even though a tight end played games with a club cast last year, he did it last year, so I tend to think he'll do it again this year. It doesn't make it easy. I'm not sure if I would really trust him out there playing with the starters with a club cast, but I suppose, with the backups, and, you know, I don't know how much if they try to take him off the field in passing situations as opposed to running downs, but however they handle it, that's up to the Packers. But that's the latest on Mitchell Henry. And in new injury news, unfortunately, it's a little bit of a concerning situation developing on the defensive line, where both Mike Daniels and first-round draft pick Kenny Clark sat out of practice on Tuesday. Daniels merely missed practice with an illness, so there's probably not much there to be worried about, fingers crossed. But it left the team with little depth at the position when Clark sat out with a back injury as well. And that's definitely not what you want to see after this team made such a big investment into Clark this spring. Now, at this point, it's been just one day. If he returns in less than a week, no big deal. Missing one practice or one preseason game isn't going to be the end of Kenny Clark, even though ideally he wouldn't miss any time at all. As a rookie, he needs all the reps he can get. But the fact that it's a back injury is a little concerning, because those things can linger and turn into long-term issues. That's certainly not the case all the time, but this is a situation worth monitoring. For what it's worth, Clark told the media Tuesday that This was the first practice he's missed in his life, dating back to middle school. So at least he has a history of good health. But you want to see him get back there as soon as possible. And hopefully we see that. And I'll tell you this, for what it's worth, the guy who really seems to be benefiting at this point from, you know, fellow defensive linemen missing practice, and albeit they've only missed one day here, but you just get the feeling that Dean Lowry is going to be perhaps is in line to see some fairly significant snaps with the Packers even when the regular season starts. And part of it is also due to the suspension to Mike Pinnell, who we know won't be available the first four games of the year. But, you know, if the Packers, you know, plan on keeping LaTroy Guyon at nose tackle, and, you know, after the, you know, immediately after drafting Kenny Clark, I wasn't sure exactly what they were going to do with LaTroy Guyon. Were they going to keep him at nose tackle? Were they going to put him out at end? You know, I didn't really know. I mean, obviously, he's got the versatility to do both if need be. But, you know, with Clark being injured here, as long as Clark remains injured, and maybe even if he wasn't, you know, it's kind of looking like if the Packers are in their base defense, it's going to be Guyon at nose tackle and then Daniels and Lowry at the ends. And I'm not sure where that leaves Kenny Clark, you know, other than subbing in on a rotational basis. Could it be the case that Dean Lowry even plays more than Kenny Clark? It's a possibility at this point. I'm not saying that's a certainty, but I guess you can give, you know, Dean Lowry this. He's older by like 2 or 3 years than Kenny Clark. Even though they're both rookies in the NFL, you remember, you know, Kenny Clark came out after, I believe this was his redshirt sophomore season, whereas Lowry was a senior and had, you know, had 4 years of college football under his belt. And that can help a guy. I honestly haven't seen all that much impressive out of Dean Lowry so far this preseason. But again, we're talking about limited, you know, small sample size here. The simple fact that he's out there and learning is a good thing, and the fact that I haven't seen anything glaringly bad is a good thing. But yeah, I mean, that's just notable at this point how Dean Lowry is setting himself up for some sort of a role in the regular season. How extensive that is has remains to be seen, but just notable at this point. All right, and finally here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, the Packers don't practice, but this is the day that Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers have reportedly agreed to meet with NFL investigators. So from the standpoint that the Packers don't have practice, this is a good thing in that it won't interrupt that. And what precise time they'll meet with investigators, there's been no indication that I've seen. But it's good that this thing is finally being put to rest, or at least starting to be put to rest. I think most people feel that Matthews and Peppers will be cleared after we've seen so many other players been exonerated, although we'll see. You know, Peyton Manning's been exonerated. The baseball players Ryan Howard and Ryan Zimmerman have been exonerated. Taylor Teagarden hasn't. So, you know, it's not a 100% thing here. But, you know, when exactly we'll hear from the NFL in this matter as well, we're not really sure either. You know, the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not betting we're going to hear from the NFL by the end of the day. Maybe we will, I'm hopeful it will be sometime by the end of this week, and maybe it could be impacted by when the other interviews take place. We heard, you know, Mike Neal is also supposed to be interviewed. James Harrison is apparently not submitting to an interview until August 30th. Whether the NFL kind of, wraps up all these things at once, waiting until August 30th, it's not really going to impact, the preseason here. Matthews and Peppers, I'm sure, will probably play on Friday against the 49ers no matter what happens, because even if they were suspended, those things don't take effect until the regular season. So not really impacting the team for the time being. I mean, if it takes a couple days, it takes a couple days. But yeah, finally, I've said this before. I'm just glad we're not getting a Deflategate thing that plays out for 2 years here, or a year and a half, or whatever it was. I'm just glad they're doing this, and whatever happens, happens. And I hope for Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers' sake, they're clean. I hope that. I'm have my doubts about that, but again, it is what it is. And finally here, even though the Packers don't practice Wednesday, one thing that is happening today from a Packers news-making standpoint is General Manager Ted Thompson making his weekly meeting with the media, holding a press conference at 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time. That's going to be streamed live at Packers.com, the team's official website, so you can watch that if you want. And that'll pretty much be the extent of the news making for the day for the Green Bay Packers. They do return to the practice field on Thursday, but it'll be behind closed doors, as is usual, the day before a game. So, once again, don't go to Green Bay expecting to watch practice on Thursday. So that'll be it before Friday's game on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. So that's what you've got coming up today, and the immediate future for that matter. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us on the show today, as he's done on a weekly basis and going to do. So glad to hear from him. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. Railbird Central is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, head to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. We greatly appreciate it, because it helps get word out about the show, which is my goal in this case. Railbird Central airs typically every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, which is the live edition of the show. It's podcasted and on demand later in the day. And that does it. We'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll have a game preview on Friday. So tune in then. We'll see you. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. We leave you today with a song called All Inside by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go.